Welcome to Inside Windows Phone. I'm Larry Lieberman, product manager here at Microsoft and the Windows developer team. Today I'm joined by Tim Heuer, lead PM for XAML. Tim, tell us a little bit about what that is.
Yes, I'm one of the lead PMs for the native UI framework for the Windows platform. Primarily that's the XAML platform, so anything angle brackets and UI is delivered from my team. So.
How long have you been doing that?
I've been with the XAML platform now for, I think, about 6 years, coming up through the Silverlight team. So this is a spawn of the Silverlight team.
Right.
And then delivering the WinRT XAML platform first in Windows 8 and Windows 8.1, and now just most recently in Windows Phone 8.1.
Right. So we had a lot of announcements at Build this year.
It was
last
an exciting
month.
Build, yes.
So Windows XAML now is available for both phone and non-phone implementations of Windows, tablets, PCs, laptops, desktops.
Exactly. From small screens to big screens.
What does this mean exactly? I mean, how does a developer leverage this?
Well, one of the things that we delivered at Build as well is an update to Visual Studio 2013, which is a free update. It's not a new version or anything like that, and basically lights up this kind of what we're calling the universal Windows platform,
mm-hmm.
Allowing you to create a universal Windows app built on a common API subset, a common UI language, and allowing you to kind of either adapt your app to different screen sizes or tailor your experience to different screen sizes. So maybe you have a very
right.
specific mobile app that you want to tailor to a one-handed interaction versus something that may be a 40-inch screen and you want to, you know, allow maximum pixel use, I guess.
Now it's really interesting because there's a lot of different pieces here to what we call this unified converged offering, this converged platform.
Exactly.
The XAML piece is but perhaps one piece
exactly.
of it.
It's only one part of it in the UI platform. And so this goes all the way up and down the stack,
mm-hmm.
From the lower level graphics aspects to devices and networking to the UI layer to the contracts and the sharing
mm-hmm.
and
the life cycle of the application.
And the life cycle of the application.
There are changes
as well.
There in order to align all of the different offerings.
Correct.
And then the services on the back end, the
yes.
store.
Windows notification services to power your live tiles, mm-hmm. Which are present on both of them as well.
And linking apps across the two stores.
Yes, and that's what another big thing that we announced for developers is the concept we call shared entitlement.
Mm-hmm.
So if I have a mobile app and a desktop app that I can basically say, if you, Larry, bought one, you get the rights for both.
And the experience gets conjoined too in some ways because once you've done that, you can also at that point share the same push notification channel.
Correct.
And you can share shared storage and backup, I believe, as well, too.
Correct.
So all those backing up settings and so forth. So all of those aspects of the experience can now be conjoined into one offering.
Exactly.
Let's focus back onto XAML because just that the UI framework is a huge piece of what developers need to take advantage of, and it's also a huge place where there's a lot of tailoring to be done based on the device type.
Exactly.
I mean, how do we address that? How do we handle it? I know that you did a lot of the work behind the demo that was done in the keynote, and
yeah.
it'd be great if you walked us through that.
Yeah, we can take a look here. So what I have is the scenario being that I'm a developer that just happens to have a project idea. This is for my sports league app. Maybe it's a fantasy league or something like that. And I just happened to start writing my application as a Windows app. And we can take a quick look. I'm done with my application. This is a pretty classic modern looking app where it has kind of that hero tile. And as I pan, I have different sections that I can get different details about, maybe even drill into one section here on this points table and see more information.
And it looks tailored to a tablet presentation.
Very much tailored to a, I'm looking at a big screen device here, and lots of different sections here, kind of wide horizontal scrolling and those aspects. And, as I look at the points table, taking the full screen and kind of showing this tabular type mm-hmm. View of information.
You have more information density than you
exactly.
can apply.
Exactly.
In a smaller space.
And that, some of the design aesthetics as well, being able to maximize the use of that and, choosing some different typography, styling, and aspects of that. But what we've done is we've enabled this concept of universal Windows apps. And so now, when I have the Visual Studio Update 2 applied, I can simply take my app and just say, I want to add a Windows Phone 8.1 project. So there's a right-click invocation here. And it's just giving me some information saying, hey, I'm going to add a project, and I'm going to add this new thing called a shared project. And we'll see that pop up in a moment. And what that does now, this is really the key to this kind of universal, being able to both adapt and tailor your app experiences, is this kind of shared concept here in Visual Studio. I can whatever I put in this shared project is going to be shared through whatever build target that I have. And here I just have Windows and Windows Phone. Mm-hmm. You can imagine in the future we evolve those to other endpoints or different types of devices or possibly Xbox or other types of screens.
And I think Visual Studio actually already released a preview of a shared project, a shared code add-on for any project type.
Exactly, exactly. You can get that through the Visual Studio Gallery.
So NuGet, yeah.
And allows you to kind of add a shared reference even to WPF or
any other kind,
and even just like a base class library and things like
and
that.
And anything you put there gets added to the full project.
It gets added, yeah.
So and it's all because of the beauty of partial classes in some ways, right?
It's partial classes and it's some MS Build targets is okay. Really what the beauty is here is that the shared project doesn't output itself any binary of any sort. It's the contents of it gets compiled and merged into whatever end targets that you have here. So in our example here, we can take, I just happen to know, you can see that I have like a bunch of view models, a bunch of code, a typical kind of MVVM implementation here. And I can take all of my code here as much as I think I can. And I'm going to drag it to the shared node here, and I'm going to let this copy. And so what this is doing is kind of literally moving all the code that I chose to copy. And this is about, I think, about 125 different code files and assets. So this isn't just code, but it's images and the high resolution images, as well as localization resources, too. I think that's really key for people that being able to share that asset that you have that usually costs money to do some of these things.
Definitely.
And I think the biggest thing here is the one thing that we're seeing is the ability to share XAML UI. That's one thing that we've heard time and time again across Windows Phone and Windows developers is I want to share my user control or my markup, I want to share that. And this platform now allows us to have a single piece of XAML that's shared across.
That's really interesting because you'd think that wouldn't be the case. When you think about the fact that UI needs to be appropriately tailored to the device type, you'd say, oh, wait, don't I have to build UI for everything?
Exactly.
I mean, tailored specifically?
Yeah.
And you're telling me, no, I don't.
You don't, but we can actually see this is a good example. And so we copied a couple things here that we don't need in our phone-specific project here. So I'm going to go ahead and delete those.
You're deleting the XAML pages.
I'm deleting. So if you look at my projects here, I have my Windows app, which really has no code in it. And I have my phone app, which just has some assets, which I'm keeping these here. This is some of the manifest aspects of it for the different icons. But pretty much everything is now in the shared project here. And so now I can go back in here and change my startup project. This is another thing that we've added in Visual Studio as a better way to kind of quickly change your startup project to different emulators.
Did you know there's a setting on the solution that lets you to automatically select the startup project based on what you have selected?
I did not. See, I learned something new every day.
I just found this out from Naveet the other day. So you can actually go on the solution and pick a setting, and I don't remember exactly where it is, but
nice.
Based on
and
where
so when you I, have... whenever I select and click start, it'll fire that up for me.
It will, and I'll link to that on this page so people can find it. But now I see that we got some errors.
We've got some errors, and this is
NewtonSoft.
This is a good example of, yeah, so you know, as like any developer, you're probably not writing all the code yourself. You know, you're using third-party libraries, maybe some controls, but a lot of .NET developers use, you know, JSON when you're getting information.
Oh, yeah.
JSON.NET is one of the most popular. So you can see here that I have a reference to a NuGet package here. And so we want to be able to support those aspects as well. So I can go ahead and add a NuGet reference to JSON.NET in my phone project as well. And it's the same NuGet package. It's not a, oh, here's the phone specific one.
That's now JSON.NET, those folks, NewtonSoft did the work.
They
here.
Did the work to make it a portable class library that targets all these different these endpoints. And so we can close this. And so
I'm
now
you can put UI in portable class libraries too now.
That's another new thing. So now in portable class libraries, when you target the universal platform, you can also put XAML in there. So you could have a portable class control as that aspect. So
I can hear the religious battles going on right now around shared code versus PCL.
That's right. So here we are. We're running the phone application, which I neglected to warm up the emulator, but it won't take too much.
It still starts very quickly these days.
Yes. And this is, you know, I highly recommend always using the emulators. You know, using the 512 meg profile is a good one. But here we have the app that is completely, we didn't change anything, right? We just copied it over, and it
this
has...
This is with no changes.
This is zero changes. And one of the interesting things to see here is notice the title, right? So in our Windows app, we had a hub page, and it had the sections and things like that. on the phone, the personality is, you know, kind of having that parallaxing background and that kind of panoramic behavior. So as I pan, you can see that the title kind of gets that parallaxing feel. And then the contents of each section has already automatically adapted to the screen size.
Now, you did some intelligent things with regard to laying out your UI initially.
Yeah, use common controls as well. And Hub is a great example. And this is actually a good example of what we've done in the framework itself to be adaptive across the screens.
Yes.
Right? So I've changed no angle brackets here. I've had to say I didn't change the size of my Hub contents or anything. It knows that the behavior on the smaller screen device is specific to that form factor and does the adjustments correctly. Even like this wraparound behavior, as I go back, it goes back to the front.
And I guess you're probably also very careful about not specifying specific numerical values for layout and so forth, actually using star sizing and...
Absolutely. You know, kind of creating that, developing with that adaptive mindset in play. But you can see there's things that we do want to tailor, right? So that homepage, probably not the best design that we had, you know, not really making a use of the screen. And if, you know, we don't really have all the information on our points table here. So that's the second thing, you know, we talked about, like, just automatically adapting. And now the second part of allowing me to say, hey, I want to tailor a specific experience to my mobile aspect. So what I'm going to do here is I have those specific views were already in user controls, which is a good way of kind of componentizing and compositing your UI to be able to separate different fragments. So I can go ahead and take these user controls and move these back to my Windows project. So I'll just drag those back. And those, you know, will now become Windows-specific user controls. And what I can do now is go and grab some pre-canned ones of phone-specific user controls that I wanted to show here. And I'll just drag these from Explorer back into my phone-specific project here. Now, the interesting thing that we have here is if I open up the Hub page, and we look at the code for the Hub page. As you can see here, I have the Hub and the Hub header and different Hub sections. And you can see here that I'm using those user controls. So I'm using, I'm saying, hey, this is the cover story view. Here's the points table view. Here's the, you know, I think we had another one. Oh, that's the detail of the points view is the third one there. But I'm not actually having to change the Hub page at all. I just actually moved, you know, had a using the same type name, the partial classes, as you mentioned before.
Right.
Allows me to say, you know, at build time, this phone project is now going to use these specific XAML files.
Now, if I happen to be using the design surface at design time, what does this show me in the shared folder?
Great segue. So as I look, so I just rebuilt my project to make sure that we have a, wrong one there. So if I open this up in design view, now you notice that because I'm selected the phone project by default, what I'm seeing is the phone specific design surface.
Because that is the startup project.
That's the startup project. That's kind of the focus project. But what this allows me to do as well is I can go in the device tab and switch different device characteristics for that view and other things as well. Now, one interesting thing is if we go to kind of split view here, up here in the left-hand side, you'll see what we call this context switcher.
Right.
So now in any code editing surface when you're in this universal platform, in whether it's XAML, whether it's C#, et cetera, you'll see this context switcher. So now when I switch from the phone project now to Sports League, which is the default name of my Windows project, you'll see that the design surface recognized that context switch and gave me the design-specific experience for that particular context. So it allows me to go in and say, oh, you know, this is what I want here. Maybe the sizing, you know, I'll recognize, oh, I shouldn't use specific sizing, use star sizing.
Yep.
Or this will help me easily identify opportunities where I do want to tailor a specific experience and say, ah, I should refactor this out into a user control and create a phone-specific one, et cetera.
So what you're showcasing here is a lot of work that was done in the tools to actually really, really accelerate leveraging this new common platform so that not only can you automatically get a UI built for both, you can actually tailor it further, go further and tailor it. And you're doing that by using user controls.
Yes.
You might have specific pages all together in one versus the other as
Absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely. Different startup paths maybe even. Or as we talked about, that WinRT stack up and down the line, you know.
Right.
On the phone, maybe I want to take advantage of Bluetooth LE as an example. And that's an aspect of like an app bar command that I want to launch to, you know, pair something or whatever that maybe I'm not doing on a typical traditional laptop experience.
Right.
So I can not only do that in the UI, but I can go in my code and ifdef in that universal shared code to say, hey, if I'm on the Windows platform, do these subtle changes of, you know, these different things.
Right.
Or full on, you know, use a different partial class.
There's other reasons, though, why user controls might be a great benefit. I know we were talking to Peter Tor a couple weeks ago, and he has a talk that he did about adaptive design for larger screen sizes. There's so many different resolution screens, especially on the phone side, that there are a lot of different techniques that are useful to know about in order to create, you know, great experiences across both. It's the same issue, sort of.
Exactly.
One of the things he did is he built a bunch of layout rules that demonstrate how you can actually change the composite, the component nature of a user control based on the amount of available space on, at runtime.
Right.
So, and that could be a technique that you'd want to use here.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Not to talk too much about that. So what else do we have here?
Yeah, so I mean, you know, as you saw, we copied those things in. We have a great design experience for both things. Now if we relook at that phone application here, we can see that the home screen looks a little different here with the title pushed down
great.
To the bottom. And as we navigate here, we change some information, but also as we tap in here, we're taking advantage of the device itself and maximizing the screen and sort of saying, hey, when you get to the full view, you know, rotate the screen, take advantage of that landscape space, which is different, right, on the laptop.
And you're doing this with the user control, aren't you?
We're doing with the user control.
Same thing Peter was talking about is basically adapting the layout just dynamically based on what's available.
Right. And so that it's, you know, it's a great developer experience, a great design experience. And to take it one step further, we also added a great diagnostic experience for these things as well. So this is something that's been new to XAML as well. We've always had this kind of UI responsiveness for WinRT. Now we have this for phone as well on the common platform. But we've also added more tools on the CPU usage and the memory usage. And the key thing here is you can run these in parallel. Mm-hmm. So the data points are correlated one to another, whereas previously you would have to run UI responsiveness and CPU, and you kind of have to time slice them together. So we can look at an example of this. We can look and say, okay, we've done a diagnostic run of our app here. Whoa, something's going on, you know, like clearly identify some hot zones and kind of drill in and say, oh, well, doesn't look like anything's going on in my XAML UI, which is good. If I look at my CPU, I can quickly get a call stack of exactly where the problem is here. Here's
96%.
The spike. 96% pegging this, so I can go and figure out who checked in this code and make a modification there. So great tools, you know, from design to emulators to diagnostics, being able for you as a developer to create an adaptive and or tailored experience across a small screen form factor to the largest screens using XAML.
For existing developers, go check this out now. If you
don't have
Update 2, the release candidate's available right now of Update 2. The final version will be available shortly, very shortly. You can add, very simply, to an existing Windows 8.1 project, you can add a phone project and play around with the adaptive UI and learn about how you could deliver that experience to phone.
Yeah.
If you are...
And you can start new as well.
You can start new. Well, we also have templates for Universal,
don't we? Yeah, we do. When you can start new, if you say, hey, I know from the get-go I want to create both this universal concept, and we use Hub as kind of an example, as I demonstrated, that's a good experience there. So I can just say, hey, I want to create a new Hub universal app, and it will automatically create that Windows, Windows Phone, and shared project, and kind of guide you along what, you know, initially could be shared.
Some of the MVVM infrastructure is there as well, I think.
Yes, so in the default template, there's some shared converters.
Navigation helper,
and the lifecycle management, as you mentioned as well, the suspension manager.
Oh yeah, so saving state to page is all built in through some of the template functionality. Well, this is fantastic. So an existing developer can go, if you've built an existing Windows app, you can go add phone without too much difficulty. Right. If you're starting fresh, you get these new templates that can immensely accelerate your ability to target both. If you're a current phone developer, there's even more options available to you because folks who are targeting Windows Phone 8 have the option of upgrading to 8.1, Silverlight 8.1.
Correct.
Investigating the new infrastructure. And learning about Windows XAML. And I think that's where the longer term benefits are. It may be that you want to start out looking at a tablet app that you would take to phone at some point in the future as well, too.
Exactly.
Because there are a lot of different options for you. Either way, we'll put a lot of links to resources on this page, including Tim's full talk at Build which you can go check out more detail about Unified XAML, or go download the tools right now and get started. We'll see you next week at Inside Windows Phone. Thank you.